Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
The Little Honey on the Lone Highway. Left me for another on the Lone Highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the Lone Highway.
Yeah, baby. What's going on here? Folks, I just needed a second shot of Radiohead there. That's how I roll in the morning. And a good morning to you. I'm Bruce McDonald. This is McDonald in the Morning. It's Wednesday, October 14th, 8:04 a.m. my time. And that's 10:04 a.m. England Eastern Standard Time for people living in the godforsaken, fire-ravaged, directed energy weapon-ravaged, and soon to be water-ravaged, California, which is the Pacific Time Standard Time. And what a beautiful day it is today, folks. As you know, I live here in the Talamanca Mountains in southern Costa Rica on what they call the Caribbean side. You can access the Talamanca Mountains from the Pacific or the Caribbean. It's a big, big mountain range that goes right through the center of the country. Well, not the whole center, the southern part. But it's the densest mountain range and the most populous mountain range in most of Latin America. And this is what makes the Talamanca Mountains so interesting. A lot of the special forces from all over Latin America come to the Talamanca Mountains to do their training. A lot of special forces train in the Talamanca Mountains. You see black helicopters here once in a while. The natives tell you about them. It's a very interesting place. And this morning is a beautiful day, as I said. My wife's off finishing off a batch of 50 chickens that we raised for 7 weeks. And like I said, you know, I get my chicken for about 80 cents a pound. So it's a pretty good deal. And we got the hogs raising up. Got some fruit trees going in the ground. And everything's good. You know, so good, folks, I wonder why I even take a backward glance at the world I left behind. And I guess the answer to that is, well, it's part of me, being a smart North American, knows that world in my rearview mirror, it's got its foot on the gas pedal, man. It's got its foot on the gas pedal, and it's coming up quick all over the world. Well, today I'm going to do the White Brotherhood, of course, because I promised you a book this week, and I'm also going to ad-lib a lot. And I've made a concerted effort to kind of put a mental suggestion in my head that my ad-libbing should be more positive, or at the very least, centered in a what-if philosophy and attitude. Meaning, what if? I mean, what if we're all wrong, man? What if this thing is completely handled from top to bottom? What if the QAnon narrative is like 70-80% narrative? You know, or true, I should say. I want to talk about this whole thing again. I want to visit again just before the election, because yesterday I was a little bit hard on Donald Trump. A little bit hard on him. And you know what? We have a tendency to be hard on people, especially if they get a little bit of power, a little bit of notoriety, a little bit of decision making, a little bit of juice, a little bit of an advancement in the field. You know, somehow this land of the free and create your own life and fulfill yourself and become a success, there's a dark side to it, right? That anybody who does anything becomes a target, right? And we're all guilty of it. Me too. I mean, you vote someone in, I feel I have the right to say anything I want about them and their children. And then every once in a while, I catch myself. I go, well, Bruce, I mean, it's a human being, man. All he did was run for office, you know? I mean, what are you saying these things about his kids for? You just catch yourself in these sort of manic states, right? These highly charged states. And what I've noticed lately is that there's a big rift in the alternative community now. There's a couple groups, there's a couple camps coming up, you know? This whole alternative media thing is it's taking the trajectory of the Soviet Bolsheviks, right? They started, I mean, there were 24 principals who started the revolution. And I mean, four of them survived. They all just murdered each other, right? You know, over the years. And then Stalin finished everybody off, right? So, you know, it's a very interesting mindset, this commie mindset, right? Like how destructive it is. And just, you know, how... you know, really diabolical it is. And it is diabolical. It absolutely is diabolical. Let's hear what General Rick has to say about this again from Dr. Strange.
There's no outrunning 5G.
Ah, come on!
Out as we speak. Sorry. Instead of trying to...
Mandrake, I suppose it never occurred to you that while we're chatting here so enjoyably, a decision is being made by the president and the joint chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew that, yeah.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought. I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
It's incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual, certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works.
Jack, tell me, Jack, when did you first develop this theory?
Well, I first became aware of it, Mandrake, during the physical act of love. Huh. Yes, a profound sense of fatigue, feeling of emptiness followed. Luckily, I was able to interpret these feelings correctly. Loss of essence. I can assure you it has not recurred, Mandrake. Women sense my power, and they seek the life essence. I do not avoid women, Mandrake.
Yeah.
But I do deny them my essence.
Oh, there you go, folks. General Jack Ripper. Now, look, I mean, that's all good and fine for a quick laugh, right? You know, first quarter of the show on a Wednesday morning. Let's have a little laugh again from Dr. Strangelove. Let me just give you the year on Strangelove, right, because it's important. So I got to look that up. And I think it's got to be about January 29, 1964 was the original release date. Holy cow, man. That's 2 years before I was born, 56 years ago. It's amazing how good it is. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, 97% on Metacritic, 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb. But remember what General Ripper said there. I mean, and this is the way Kubrick rolls, man. He gives you like pure gold. And it's in a context that it's kind of comedic, right? I think it's one of the ways he spoke around the censors. Either that or we're all wrong. And he was a massive disclosure agent for the other side. Just literally telling us what they're doing to meet their mandate for disclosure, right? And disclosure is a mandate, folks. Nobody who wants to operate on the scale that the negative is operating on now can do so without at least the illusion of consensus, you know, which I think is a good thing because it suggests to me that there's a governing force larger than them even, because they're not doing it to please us. Why would they disclose, you know, to meet any commitment to us? So why are they disclosing? Why are they giving us any hint of what they're going to do? Why are they giving us any chance at all to figure it out? Because they have to. Because if they don't, corrective forces larger than them enter the picture. But as long as it's perceived to have been done through consent, meaning we were told, then everything marches forward. But look, being told is not what you think. You know, you're told all kinds of stuff on Rev Radio. Is it disclosure? Yes. Yes. But what I mean when I say that being told is not what you think is a lot of times it'll come at you sideways. It'll come at you in a context that would never meet the definition of disclosure for you. The details are correct, but they've thrown it into a comedic cinematic context. It's not Dan Rather, you know, Walter Cronkite barking it out on the news at 6 o'clock at night, right? When you say disclosure, it's like, We interrupt this regularly televised programming to bring you a special message from the Emergency Broadcasting System. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. You know, that's what we have in the back of our head when we think disclosure, right? Oh, they told us. Oh, they told us. It doesn't work that way, folks. It doesn't work that way. Disclosure is literally happening all the time. Disclosure has become an art form in the 20th century. You understand? Become an art form. This is what all these evil Talmudic Kabbalistic Masons were doing. Edward Bernays, you know. Curiously, another relation to Sigmund Freud. Same as that candy-ass kitty diddler from Portugal who helped out the Podesta brothers with Madeleine McCann. Another relation of Sigmund Freud. Look, that should tell you something. Okay? Why are so many people connected to Sigmund Freud so fucking unbelievably evil? Right? Who was Sigmund Freud? Well, he was a Kabbalist's Kabbalist is who he was. Okay? Yeah, your magical people who were leading you to Zion. That's who they were. Yeah. I don't know why some things are so difficult for people to accept. Why the program stamps out the truth. I don't get that. That part of human beings I've never been able to understand. And it's a curious affectation of myself and people like me. I'm immune to programming. There's a genetic type on this planet that you can't program or manipulate them. Very interesting. There really is, actually. They did testing years ago, right? They've known. They've absolutely known about the various alien DNAs on this planet for a long time, folks. Okay? Now, today I'm going to get really weird, man. I'm bringing it in all in together. The religions, the ETs, the gene pool, the Human Genome Project, right? Yeah, I didn't do any research for this show. Look, I know more. I have forgotten more than most people will ever know. I don't know what it is about me. I'm a burrower, man. I'm a burrower. You know how you got like rodents and stuff that burrow into the ground? I burrow into information. It's what I do. You give me a clean, rainy day, no school, no work, and I'll do something constructive with that time. I'll burrow. I'll look into something. I'll read a book, right? And you sort of pick up a bigger picture. And over the year, it takes a long time to put all the little details together, though, because the one thing they're not doing with the ET story is explicitly telling us. They're not explicitly telling us. This is another thing about disclosure. A lot of the disclosure is implicit, not explicit, right? Like Stanley Kubrick what did Stanley Kubrick tell us in that comical little scene with General Jack Ripper? Your hardcore commie has no limits, Mandrake. That's how they roll, poisoning the water with fluoride to corrupt our precious bodily fluids. I mean, people were rolling in the ground when they heard that in the theaters in 1964. What does it sound like now? Sounds like that fucking vaccine they want to jab in our arms, doesn't it? You see what I mean? It's disclosure. It also gives you a sense of the sort of long-range planning that goes into this stuff. The planning is enormous, folks. These people have been on the same plan for at least 400 or 500 years. Okay? There's one plan here, folks. There's one plan. I'm not sure what it is. I've heard theories on what it is, but I don't know what they're... I don't think the people even executing the plan know what the real intent of the plan is. They're just folding up into something else's agenda, something they worship in their head, something they go and they do rituals for. That's what they're doing, but they don't understand it either. But they do long-range planning, and therefore they do long-range projection on what's going on here. Long-range projection is very easy to know what they're going to do. So they've tried every manner of political persuasion, have they not? They've invaded, they've raped, they've brutalized, they've traumatized, and then somebody got smart in the middle of the 20th century and basically said, well, why don't we see if we can reconfigure the precious bodily fluids, which is, coming out through Stanley Kubrick in Dr. Strangelove is just a way of saying, why don't we use the body, its chemistry and biology, as the basis of our control matrix? And that's where they're going now. But you can see the elements of it. Like, the name of the game is controlling human beings. You can't make any promise in this world unless you can control human beings or guarantee their behavior. You can't. What would happen if a country guaranteed another country oil drilling rights, and that country sent over 10 boats full of equipment and engineers, and they came into your country and they went to their site to start the drilling, to start oil exploration, which they had been given the permission to do by your domestic government. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people in that country showed up at the drill site and chased off the foreign country and their engineers and blockaded it and said, you're not drilling here. Well, the government didn't have the authority to make that deal, right? So it's impossible for anyone, anything to work in this world unless people can be controlled. People can't do whatever they want. Otherwise, nothing gets done. Right? And here we arrive at the problem of the United States of America in the 21st century. You've become the ultimate people who won't do what they're told. That's what you've become. They want you to go in a certain direction. You're not going in that direction. They've gently told you once, twice, three times. Now they're getting ready to bring the hammer down. I don't think this is Trump doing this. You know, I think Trump, I'll say the same thing I always say. Trump, the way I've settled on Trump now, his intention was good. He may have underestimated the complexity and ferocity and sheer viciousness, like I'll kill your family viciousness of Washington. He may have underestimated that a little bit, maybe even a little rougher than the mafia he's used to dealing with in the New York construction trade. Because at this top level, folks, at the level of international politics and at the level of Washington, these are the most evil, self-centric people on the planet, right? Self-centeredness, all about them, their power, their trajectory. What is the difference between a God-directed person and a self-directed person? Well, the self-directed person puts the responsibility for achieving all their goals in their hands, and they become quite ruthless and amoral in the pursuit of that. Doesn't matter who they have to kill. Doesn't mean they like killing. Not too many people are bloodthirsty. That's a whole other thing there. You got to be initiated into that to become bloodthirsty. And then it's not really you that's bloodthirsty. It's what they attach to you in the ritual. Not too many people are bloodthirsty, but, you know, a lot of people can work up the courage to kill someone if they need to achieve a goal. I don't. I follow the God way. And the God is your life unfolds as it unfolds, and everything that comes into your life is something from you to learn from, and never react. Well, Bruce, what if someone comes into your life and they're going to kill you? Well, if I figure it out soon enough, I'll try and kill them, right? But I'm generally going to treat them with love and respect, right? Or indifference, one or the other. Love and respect or indifference. If I feel I can't get along with them because they're completely spiritually corrupt, I'll just become very indifferent to them. I'll separate from them, not spend much time with them. And there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people that you just can't communicate with, right? They're too far gone, especially now, right? Especially now. So precious bodily fluids, ha, 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 ha. Big joke in 1964, you know? No job, no bank account, no crypto ID, no blockchain ID, no nothing. No, nothing unless you get that, hologram blue ink tattoo, very, very similar to the mark on the Jews in the concentration camps, by the way. Has anybody else noticed that? Right? Very, very similar to that. Unless you get that vaccine, And unless you become part of that CLEAR program, Jimmy Jean was going over on Friday, you're not going to be able to buy a loaf of bread, right? I'll be able to make a loaf of bread. Yeah, I don't think it's going to, I think it's going to start in the first world and it's going to take a long time, right? Because it's going to take a lot of money to bring in this whole program. It's going to take a lot of money to vaccinate the whole world, right? It's going to start in the first world. It's going to start in America. They're going to try and vaccinate you guys first. This is all about America right now. America falls, the world goes in another direction. I don't want America to fall. I certainly, by my show yesterday and other shows I've done, you can certainly, you know, conclude that I have problems with America, right? I think America is a very imbalanced place now, but I think that's been done deliberately, largely by the left, right? And for about the last, since about 64, really. Now, it's interesting how Kubrick's film career really just starts right up in the middle of all this craziness, you know, very shortly after the OSS becomes the CIA and all kinds of craziness comes into the world, folks. Alien-human hybrids. And I mean man-made in a lab, not this abduction stuff. Okay? We don't even know what really happened in World War II yet, but it's a watershed of information. Changed the whole world we live in, World War II. Right? The truth about World War II. We haven't had any truth for 75 years. Political and social truth. None whatsoever. The Holocaust was a hoax. Germany isn't what they're telling us they were. We haven't had any truth since World War II. See you on the other side.
We are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out.
Not me.
Get it, Cuff.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There is blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Hey folks, Karl Marx here. You know from my smash hit, The Communist Manifesto, the little ditty that changed the world. I crack myself up. But really, you know what else? The joke is on you, because this little manifesto has been used on you. Yeah, the United States of America. And then there was my epic, Das Kapital, a sweeping work of intrigue and...
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bruce McDonald. This is McDonald in the Morning. It's 8:31 a.m. Wednesday, October 14th, the year 2020, according to the Gregorian calendar. And what a glorious October it is. This is my favorite time of year in North America, actually, from about September 15th to October 30th. Those 6 weeks till Halloween. My favorite, man. No other place in the world produces that exact climate for 6 weeks, that perfect, gorgeous, beautiful, romantic, awe-inspiring 6 weeks of fall weather. You don't get it in any other place, man. You got to be in like Ottawa or Toronto or Maine or New Hampshire, up in the Northeast there, right? And it's so beautiful, folks. I swear, I mean, like I live in paradise. Garden of Eden I live in, no joke. But there's one thing I miss, and that is the falls. You know, that September 15th to October 31st, those 6 weeks, man, they're just so beautiful. So I call a lot of my Canadian friends during the days. I say, how's it going? And then I ask about the weather. But it's beautiful. All the leaves turn, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous time of year. First snowfall's kind of nice, too, when it's all clean. Oh, it's so beautiful, right? You get like your first significant snowfall where it's about a foot of snow. And you go out to the corner store at night to buy something. And, you know, the snow is going up to past your ankles and you're leaving these footprints in this snow trail everywhere. It's kind of beautiful. And that's about all I miss weather-wise. From North America. That's about it, folks. Not much more than that. But it is a beautiful place to be. We're talking about a lot of things this week. We're talking about, intermittently talking about the White Brotherhood. And we're supposed to be reading a book called The Path of Mankind. But we'll get to it. It's there. You know, it's there. It's always there. You can always go to it. Not going anywhere. But I like just kind of, if I have the energy, I have the inclination and my manic creativity is turned on, I like to just sort of ping pong all over the place or pinball all over the place. Bing, 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 just bounce from, you know, place to place. And I want to be clear about something, okay? Very, very clear about something because it's too important to be ambiguous about. There is a quality preserved in specifically Americans, to a lesser extent, some Canadians. It exists in some Europeans. And it exists in, I think, every human being in every part of the world at a deeper layer of their consciousness. But it's just this ability to engage life and to go forward and to do something and to not have any kind of overt order-giving system around you to produce something extraordinary. You know, like the Wright brothers with the airplane is a good example. Like all of the stuff that God invented in the United States. And there was something very beautiful and very spiritual. I mean, there was a dark side. This is what alternative radio is about, folks. We're learning about the dark side that's always been here in small degree. Okay, because in the past, the dark side was here in such a small degree that nobody really had to mobilize against it. Nobody really had to do anything. It's just part of life, right? Everybody knew on some level there's this darkness on the planet, but we didn't feel we had to do anything about it. And that all changed after World War II, right? It all changed after World War II. And then the darkness took over. That was their pivot point, folks. It's been a dark agenda since World War II. The more I look at what's going on in the world now, I think when you look at... Look, again, I mean, when you get into alternative radio and you can get into, you get into timelines, yeah, I mean, I get it. There's timelines within timelines within timelines. I mean, you can go back hundreds and thousands of years if you want to talk about alien agendas, you know, but we're not talking about alien agendas. We're talking about this human race we're all a part of, right? And for us and for our feeble little minds and our boots on the ground life experience of 80 or 85 years, we see what we see and we know what we know, and that's all we have to act upon. And I would suggest that most people listening to me are within the age of one, two, or three generations upon whom this responsibility falls. And what is this responsibility I'm talking about? It's to become aware of the darkness and to speak about it and to let people know that, look, these people have a plan. Okay, I'm not going to talk about it in a spiritually copacetic way. They haven't brought it in spirituality. That's what they were going to do. They brought it out into public slowly, and they're showing us now. You know, they're showing us. So they haven't really done anything wrong, right? And that's the truth. You got to understand these laws, too, if you're going to start mixing it up at this level. Because you make a mistake, the consequences could be quite severe. Psychologically and spiritually, you can find yourself in a very bad place, man. Very bad place. And that stuff's all real too, man. Boogeyman gets in your head when the darkness gets in there. And it's real. The darkness is real. You can be attacked. And they do that to people. Right? They do. In the truth-telling community, from the stories I've heard over the years, the people who get attacked the most are the people who go after the Vatican. Apparently they got some, you know, tier one A-team for black magic down there in the catacombs of the Vatican. Yeah, some serious stuff. But World War II was the pivot point, folks, right? And it fits into what I call the 375-year plan that goes back to the Bank of England. This plan has been brought forward by Talmudic Kabbalists and their Masonic cronies and certain other secret societies that they can infiltrate into. Falun Gela in the Islamic world, but they're minor players right now. The evil's having a harder time spreading in the Islamic world, believe it or not. Isn't that interesting, isn't it? Right? Certainly the Muslim Brotherhood, but that's more political. They don't do the whole secret society and speak in symbolism the way the other ones do. You see, there's different kinds of organizations, right? They like to keep it all honeycombed, right? Now, if we were to crash an Antifa meeting and I started spouting some of the crap I'm spouting on radio today, they wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. They're not read in at this level, okay? They're triggered because the sequence in the timeline is visible. And the sequence in the timeline is telling people, hey, man, there's a catastrophe coming up, right? these people, they're just going to roll right past you, man. You and your kind are just going to die. There's nobody taking care of you. You got to take this country now, man. Look at the way these people behave, these billionaires. They don't give a rat's ass about you, man. You and yours are going to starve in the street. The only people that can change that is you, man. Hey, read this, man. Hey, you ever operate an M16? Would you like to? Well, don't worry about the bullets. We'll pay for the bullets. We're looking for good people like you. You ever throw a brick? How do you feel about going to jail if we can have you bailed out in 48 hours? Remember, this is for you and yours, man, because if you don't stand up, they're going to take you out. Right? Now, the people telling the people giving the message, you know, spewing this out and creating Antifa, they are the representatives of the people who are going to take the poor people out. It's like their system is you know what? Every once in a while, I have these moments of radical objectivity and clarity where I just don't take a side. And I just stand back and I go, man, the genius of that. And I got to say, I'm having more and more of those moments now as I look at the dark side. I'm just going like, man, the genius of that. It's so well planned. It's so well thought out. It's so well executed. Right? I don't like to have too many of those moments, though, because it gives me the idea that we can never beat them. And of course, we can beat them. So that's what they do, man. That's how they get people all revved up, right? And there's truth to what they're saying. If you look at the progression of the United States, you look at the incarceration patterns, the privatization of prisons, the designation of the black male between 18 and 25 as a super predator by Biden and Clinton. Back whenever they did that in the 90s or the 2000s, right? Now, imagine you're some dude, some black dude, sitting back in Chicago watching all this go down. What are you going to think? I got to get together with my people, man. I got to fight this. Plus, there's a glitch in my flat screen TV, and if I keep this up enough, it could turn to rioting, and I'll get a new flat screen TV. But that's just an ancillary motivation, right? Not the primary. So the whole thing is managed from beginning to end at an emotional level. All of these emotions exist. Look, first of all, what you got to realize is you're living in an artificial environment, okay? The danger receptors were put into human beings. You know who needs danger receptors right now? Me. Me. I live in the rainforest. I step in the wrong place. I'm dead. I need my danger perception, okay? Nature put danger perception into a human being for a reason, because nature has danger and nature wants us to give as much equipment as any other mammal has to survive. So we get this danger sense in the human being. But listen, folks, it only works if you live in a natural environment. Yeah, you don't have to worry about stepping on a poisonous snake in New York, do you? You don't have to worry about jaguars in New York. You don't have to worry about a pack of very large coyotes tearing apart your dog in the middle of night in a remote mountain in the middle of nowhere in Central America, do you? You don't need your danger infrastructure the way I need my danger infrastructure. So why is your danger infrastructure being tinkered with so much now? Why is the stranger danger alarm bell going off in everybody? Right? It's like nonstop in the United States now, and it has been for a while. If you were to get in a time machine and go back even 30 years and tell people what would 30 years be? 1990? Make it 40. If you were to go back to 1980 and tell people, look, the day will come where you're not going to be able to let your 7-8-year-old kids go out and play in the park with a kilometer and a half from your home without parental supervision. Child predation is going to be so overwhelming in our society. They'd think you were crazy. They would think you were nuts. So here's a question. Where did all this kiddy diddling come from? If these guys are consummate planners and they're always planning, where did all this kiddy diddling come from? Excellent question. I would say it came about from a directive, right? A post-World War II directive in the secret societies. It went widespread. And the reason it's so out of control now is 90% of the kiddy diddlers are not initiates. Okay, they're victims. They're people who had it done to them when they were 3-4 years old. Right? And for 10 years straight or longer. You want to understand how that screws a person up? Right? For your whole life? Do yourself a favor and periodically listen to the Zef Daniel podcast. Brilliant podcast I listen to quite regularly, folks, if I've never mentioned that. Now, Zef's a diehard Christian. It's Jesus or nothing for Zef, which doesn't bother me because the way he interprets Christ is so beautiful. And Christ is a great teacher for the human race. And I am in debt to all the great teachers, including Christ. That's how I roll. And if I sound like a theosophist to you, well, give me a time machine and I'll murder Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and prove to you I'm not. Because I'm not down with that horse shit either, right? Blavatsky was just another Jewish witch is what she was, right? Jewish witch. And this is the time we find ourselves in, and this is the circumstance we find ourselves in. And if you can get to that clear point in your own thinking, then you can maybe help other people get to that clear point that, look, man, we're being played. But it's very hard now. It's very tricky. Very, very tricky to do now. Very, very difficult because everybody is under nonstop assault from these negative energies, these negative thoughts, and these negative feelings right now. America is being programmed to self-destruct right now, right? So you can't stop it because the philosophy of the country is free speech. So the people in who know what's going on, they can't come right in and do what they need to do because they'll be called tyrants, right? Now imagine sitting back in the intelligence division of the Chinese Communist Party, and it's like 1989. You're tasked with coming up with a plan to destabilize America. And we may very well be seeing a lot of foreign plans in America now too, as well, folks, because, you know, the thing about opening up to the worldwide media is that the whole world dumps into your country as well at an information level, right? Not so much all the other countries, folks. That's why they have big firewalls around them. You see? That's why they have big firewalls around them. So, if you were part of a totalitarian regime like the Chinese Communist Party, tasked with taking down a free regime like America, I would create a situation that only a tyrannical regime could solve because it has centralized and immediate authority without any questioning. They don't have to worry about being called tyrants. They've already accepted that label, stepped out of the closet and said, yeah, we're a tyrannical government. We're going to run our country this way. Yeah, you can whine and squawk and you can stand in front of a tank in 1989 in Tiananmen Square if you want, but it's not going to work out well for you, right? Chinese are the Borg, man. They're the Borg, okay? That's the best description for them. They're the Borg from Star Trek, if you don't know who the Borg are. So if I were part of Chinese intelligence, that's exactly what I would do. And generally, when you think about something within the mandate of having the responsibility to execute it, you're going to come up with the right plan. And if you're trying to think through something that somebody else has already thought through, when you come up with the right plan, you'll see it immediately in the world. And you'll go, oh, yeah, they thought that I'm right. They thought the same thing because I see it in motion. I see it in execution. And that's what's going on in America now. I mean, there isn't a person listening to me right now that doesn't want Trump to just like blow a big whistle, call out the troops and have these leftists get their heads crushed in, right? But it's tyrannical and tyrannical things do not go well in a free society. There's so many things Trump has done and there's so many things about this administration that bother me. And, you know, I talked about them early on in the first 6 months of the Trump administration in 2017. And then Trump love was so great at Rev Radio, I just kind of abated a little bit and took two steps back. Okay? Number one, the Q narrative. Okay? Let's have an honest conversation about the Q narrative. That is an imperfect intelligence construct. Whose intelligence construct, I can't say definitively right now. But that is an intelligence construct. Okay? That is a perfect 21st century networked digital intelligence construct. Okay? I've never held the QAnon narrative to a one-to-one mandate, a one-to-one standard. I don't expect everything they tell me to be right. It's not what the Q narrative is about. I don't think any, and if they were right about everything, that would mean they were in complete control of what was unfolding. Nobody, one thing I can tell you for sure, folks, if there's one thing we might all come to agreement on, October 14th, 2020, at 8:50 a.m. in the morning, my time, 10:50 a.m. your time, if there's one thing we might all come to agreement with, maybe the one thing we'll all find consensus on, no one group or faction on this planet now is in 100% control of what's unfolding in front of us now. That's very important to understand. There's another counter coup, another group of guerrilla information specialists out there coming at us now. It's all a LARP, they say, a live action role play. All a LARP. You know, they're trying to package it. They're trying to go back to the one entity or group is controlling all of this narrative. There is no one entity controlling all of this. No one group. It's not the Zionists, not the Nazis, not the CCP, not the FSB or their cyber network or their occult warfare division in Russian intelligence. There is not one group in control of everything right now. There isn't. There's a lot of mind control programs at work right now. An extraordinarily large number of mind control programs at work now, operating at deeper levels based on pattern recognition that gets picked up in your unconsciousness and then filters back into your conscious thinking. Right? A lot of that going on right now. Is any one of those programs in clear control? Is there any force on this planet now? Even if you want to go 2-3 layers deep and call it coming from the invisible worlds, the fourth dimension. You can call it demonic or extraterrestrial if you want. Put any label you want on it. If you have a theory of one group controlling everything that goes on in the world right now and every piece of chaos, mayhem, and misdirection that's going on in the world now as part of one centralized and controlled plan, if you can make that case convincingly, I'd like to hear from you. Right now, I think no. There is no one plan right now. There is no one plan. This is what is so perplexing about this time we live in. Oh, it's the mind control people from the CIA, you know, all those people, Jan Irving were talking about that, you know, created the beat writers and all the CIA-controlled cultural influencing in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Look, folks, we went global. This is what the internet did. We're no longer subject just to one little, we're no longer subject just to one little group or force. But in the case of Americans, you actually are much closer to being controlled by one group because you guys don't look outside your borders. There's not a person listening to me right now that would spend an hour reading Le Monde in Paris and translating it to English through Google Translate and see, oh, what is the official biggest French daily newspaper think about what's going on in the world now? Right? London Observer, the Israel Times, you know, whatever the big paper is in Turkey, read their paper. You ever do that? You ever go and read foreign press and translate it? I do it all the time. I do it all the time. You can take something that happens in the world, okay? And you can look at it through five different national lenses and you'll get five different stories, okay? So, let's go back to Tiananmen Square because I already spoke about this one. I did this one as a university exercise, actually, when I was in journalism school. It was a task I had in one of my courses. So I looked at Tiananmen Square through the perspective of five different newspapers. You know what the headline was in Pravda coming out of Moscow for Tiananmen Square? 14 brave soldiers injured in China. I shit you not. Go look it up in the microfiche. Right? 14 brave soldiers injured in Chinese uprising. Chinese dissident uprising. Right? The thing about information is you don't have to go that deep. You don't have to get into all the mind hacking and the subliminal stuff. Although they're into that, but look, most people are going to do whatever they're told. They want to trust. Right? It's like Anton Chigurh as a perfect character in No Country for Old Men. Would you hold still, please, sir? What is that thing? Would you please just hold still, sir? Just boom. Pneumatic pump puts the bolt in his brain, kills him the way they kill cows. Right? People are so trusting. So trusting. Right? You just tell them. Look at what's going on with COVID. You just tell them. Hey, we got a deadly virus to contend with. Oh my God, there's a deadly virus. You know, one of the things I've done with COVID is I've gone around and looked at a number of my favorite contemporary spiritual commentators who run YouTube channels like Sadhguru out of India. Dropped the grand yogi, the great realized enlightened yogi, has completely dropped the ball on COVID. Why is that? Why can't we get consensus? Why can't we get heavy hitters on our side backing us up and saying, look, this is a scam. People are trying to kill you. Why? See you on the other side, folks.
To act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss some quirky topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock. For This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Bruce McDonald. This is McDonald in the Morning. That is my dog, Saul, in the background, terrifying some poor Nicaraguan peasant worker walking by on the road. I can't get up and stop him now, so that poor Nicaraguan peasant worker is going to have to survive his fear, because I'm doing live radio, but I will do this. Saul! There, he stopped. My dog respects me. Listen, folks, I'm not saying you got to like Donald Trump. I'm saying stay with the plan, man. I mean, the guy's got a monumental task ahead of him. He's not perfect. He seems jungled up with these crazy Jews a little bit too much for my comfort. But of all the plans out there, I like his. Look, when you're looking at politicians, and we have to interact with them, right? Because we still live in political systems. And if you don't vote, you're still going to have an effect upon your life. So we kind of have to interact with these people. So my philosophy on politicians is a lot like lepers. If you have to engage with them, choose the one with the most fingers. And you know what? Donald Trump is the politician with the most fingers. And on that note, let's talk a little bit about the doomsday machine.
The surface of the earth will be as dead as the moon.
Ah, come on. That's too ridiculous. Our studies show that even the worst fallout is down to a safe level after 2 weeks.
You've obviously never heard of cobalt thorium G.
Well, what about it?
Cobalt thorium G has a radioactive half-life of 93 years. If you take, say, 50 H-bombs in the 100 megaton range and jacket them with cobalt thorium G, when they are exploded, they will produce a doomsday shroud, a lethal cloud of radioactivity which will encircle the Earth for 93 years.
Oh, what a load of commie bull. I mean, after all.
Afraid I don't understand something, Alexei. Is the Premier threatening to explode this if our planes carry out their attack?
No, sir. It is not a thing a sane man would do. The doomsday machine is designed to trigger itself automatically.
But surely you can disarm it somehow?
No. It is designed to explode if any attempt is ever made to untrigger it.
Automatically?
Ah, it's an obvious commie trick, Mr. President. We're wasting valuable...
Well, this is absolute madness.
Why should build that frigate? But in the end, couldn't be involved in the arms in this race. And at the same time, our people grumbled for more nylons and washing machines. Our doomsday scheme cost us just a small fraction of what we've been spending on defense in a single year. The deciding factor was when we learned that your country was working along similar lines, and we were afraid of a doomsday gap.
This is preposterous. I've never approved of anything like that.
Our source was the New York Times.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
A moment, please, Mr. President.
Under the authority granted me as Director of Weapons Research and Development, I commissioned last year a study of this project by the Bland Corporation. Based on the findings of the report, my conclusion was that this idea was not a practical deterrent, for reasons which at this moment must be all too obvious.
Then you mean it is possible for them to have built such a thing?
President, the technology required is easily within the means of even the smallest nuclear power. It requires only the will to do so.
But how is it possible for this thing to be triggered automatically and at the same time impossible to untrigger?
Mr. President, it is not only possible, it is essential. That is the whole idea of this machine, you know. Deterrence is the art of producing in the mind of the enemy the fear to attack. And so, because of the automated and irrevocable decision-making process which rules out human meddling, the doomsday machine is terrifying. It's simple to understand and completely credible and convincing.
Gee, I wish we had one of them doomsday machines, Stacy. But this is fantastic, Strangelove. How can it be triggered automatically?
Well, it's remarkably simple to do that. When you merely wish to bury bombs, there's no limit to the size. After that, they are connected to a gigantic complex of computers. Now then, a specific and clearly defined set of circumstances under which the bombs are to be exploded is programmed into a tape memory bank. A single roll of tape can store all the information.
What kind of a name is that? That ain't no crowd name, is it?
He
changed it when he became a citizen. It used to be Metvektik Liebe. A crowd by any other name, isn't it?
Is that the whole point of the doomsday machine is lost?
If you keep it a secret, why didn't you tell the world, eh?
There you go, folks. Dr. Strangelove, the Doomsday Machine. Three roles, sellers. He plays Dr. Strangelove, who is obviously a Nazi scientist brought over in paperclip, but they never used the word paperclip. Nobody in the U.S. knew about this in 1964. You've got him playing also the President of the United States. He was actually playing two roles in that scene I just played. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, such was the talent of Peter Sellers. Remarkable man. Remarkable man. And he also played Mandrake, Captain Mandrake, the British liaison officer who ended up at the military base with General Jack Ripper when Jack Ripper launches the nuclear bombs at Russia. So there you go. If something else I want to play for you here, folks, this friend of mine, you got to hear this. This is really kind of cool. This is a guy I've known most of my life. He became a stand-up comic. He's doing very well at it. Lives in the United Kingdom. And they've been massively affected by this shutdown. And he, with a production team, went over to Switzerland and did a one-hour documentary that is soon to be released called Another Way. And looked at how Switzerland handled COVID. So here's the trailer.
That's the whole point of the arts experience, is everybody comes together. And we're living in a world where everybody's pushing apart. The change came completely overnight. So obviously we're locked, living out of working in front of people, of an audience. If you can't have a group of people, there's no audience.
All the comedians on a certain level will have to get other jobs. And that'll be the end of a generation.
Some of the US protesters have adopted Sweden as an example.
Sweden has taken a controversial decision not to lock down.
Sweden is prioritizing.
Ah. Hold on a sec, folks. I got it off of Twitter, and I can't change the, what do you call it, the DPI. So we'll see if I can find a YouTube trailer. Okay, hold on a sec. I'll be right with you, folks. Please, I apologize for the delay. Ah, here we go. Yeah, let's put it here on YouTube. That'll be
Did you know
there is one question you should never ask a woman to become your girlfriend or see anything, just a friend. As men...
That's the whole point of the art experience, is everybody comes together, and we're living in a world...
The change came completely overnight. So obviously when lockdown happened, we make a living out of working in front of people, of an audience. If you can't have a group of people, there's no audience.
All the comedians on a certain level will have to get other jobs, and that will be the end of a generation.
Some US protesters have adopted Sweden as an example.
Sweden has taken the controversial decision not to lock down.
Sweden is prioritizing herd immunity.
My name is Sean Collins. I've been doing comedy for about coming up on 30 years.
Please welcome the fantastic, the wonderful, the glorious, Mr. Sean Collins is here!
I'm not a huge name. I'm just a guy who no longer can work and just kind of crunching the numbers and wondering why. I met Simon through social media. I just noticed that he was taking the government to court for the lockdown. So I direct messaged him and I just said, hey, do you want to go to Sweden and do a documentary? And here we are. I hear conflicting reports, and I just thought, well, let's go over there and see the truth. And maybe if we can share that around the world, maybe, just maybe, people will wake up a little bit.
What went from being a very personal, almost intellectual pursuit in holding the government to account became a movement. Do Swedish people look at governments in different countries around the world and go, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Frankly, yes.
It feels pre-COVID here. Like
it just feels normal, doesn't it?
We've gone back in time to before it all started. It just gave me unbelievable hope that maybe the tide could turn, that there was another way to do things that maybe wouldn't be so crippling.
We need the interaction. The arts needs the interaction.
It's nonsensical. There is inherent in life is risk. The only thing that makes life worthwhile is the fact that you're going to die.
There you go, folks. And you know what? Sweden is fine, folks. Right? They're fine. They had the best response in the whole world to COVID, okay? Why? Why Sweden? You know? What is this thing we've been going through? Now, Sean... and be sure and watch that documentary when it comes out, because it'll be very positive, very funny, and just asking questions without creating a conspiracy, right? Like, why did we do it this way? Why did we do the lockdown? You know, when you look at the consequences to the global economy. Well, of course, the answer is they wanted the lockdown. And I'll tell you right now, my buddy Sean Collins, he knows all this stuff. He could sit in on any roundtable at Rev Radio and bring information none of us know. I've known this guy for 30 years, right? He's the guy, when I was living with him in 2003, after my divorce, he's the guy who handed me The Biggest Secret by David Icke. He hangs around with David Icke's kids in the UK, his adult children. So there is a movement. There is a fight going on here. Look, the biggest problem that these, whatever you want to call them, these demonic forces, these extraterrestrials, the biggest problem they have, folks, is controlling the human spirit. What we have not been given in terms of longevity, we have a very short life, intelligence, we have a very low IQ compared to other beings out there. Other races of beings out there, folks, you know, we have a much lower IQ than them. And, you know, what makes us so dangerous and formidable as a species, the human race? It's our spirit, man. There's something like really indomitable about human beings. And this is why they've tried this. What we're in now is a slow plan. This is a slow cook, folks. This is what I've been saying all along, man. I have never changed my tune in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. You're not going to get your sandbag. This is why I find it so ridiculous when I still hear people talking about a war with China. Look, folks, war is obsolete, okay? It's obsolete. These people interact with each other. They sign treaties and they they hold themselves to the treaties. Okay? What they're fighting over now is just basically title and status in the world that they want to bring about. There's no real adversarial force to what's going on in the world. I guarantee you, if someone of capable ability, like a John Pilger, the independent, the freelancer, his latest documentary is The Coming War with China. He's the one who broke all the IMF stuff, folks. We didn't know what was going on with the IMF, how evil they were. The first hint we got was in the 80s with John Pilger. And he went to Indonesia and interviewed a bunch of ex-political people. And Indonesia got a huge IMF loan. Suharto fled the money with the IMF's loan money, fled the country, him and his family. This is in the 80s, folks. In the 80s. The Suharto family absconded from Indonesia with, they estimate, conservatively, $65 billion U.S. in the 80s. $65 billion 1980s dollars, okay? And he left the country high and dry, and the IMF went in and took over Indonesia. And John Pilger, nobody knew this stuff back then, folks. John Pilger was the first, right? And it's nice to see Sean living in the UK and getting this documentary done. And it's a good way to, I mean, we don't pull any punches here at Rev Radio. We go right for the jugular, right? We go right for, really, we open the closet door and rummage right through, right? There's nothing in the closet here. We bring it all out. You know, whatever we want to talk about, stuff that normal people don't talk about, right? Spiritual stuff, interdimensional stuff, extraterrestrial stuff. But if you wanted to make a case to people that the lockdown was excessive and heavy-handed and there was absolutely no data necessitating that level of security, the example would be Sweden. Now, true enough, you know, Sweden may not be exempt from wave two. Because remember, folks, there's a dimension to this story in which this is going to be rolled out in waves. Right? And wave one is what we got, and it was a destruction of the economy. And wave two will be much more real if wave one doesn't work. So wave one is like a warning. This is what we're going to do. Stay out of our way. And if we don't heed the warning, wave two comes in, and in wave two, there will be mass casualties. It will be Spanish flu type stuff, okay? And this ties in perfectly with the unfolding of the Revelation plan. I say plan because it's not a prophecy. They're going to bring it about, right? That's the controllers who wrote that, by the way. It's not a testament of God. In my opinion, don't want to offend anybody. But they're going to roll that out. So here we are. And the question becomes, how do you convince people otherwise? How do you change people's minds? And what has gone into creating the believability of this other side in people? Why is the other side so believed? You know, well, granted, it's the government, right? Well, you know, look, let's be honest. Nobody wants to believe that government is evil. I mean, not even me, not even you. I mean, deep down, we'd rather live in a world where we could trust what they were saying, right? Most of us have been taken out of that safe place, not because we, at the age of 16, suddenly dressed in black and dyed our hair jet black and went goth and started looking for all the troublesome conspiracies in the world because we had a vested interest in discrediting authority. I don't think too many of us in this group are like that. So how did we get here? Well, we all, if you've talked to people in the alternative movement, they all had very distinct personal awakenings based on personal experience. It's like an initiatic experience. You get a direct firsthand experience with the system, which reveals something about how it really operates that they're not telling the public. And that's how 99% of us got into this. Some of us got into it just because a state of consciousness, like it's time to help people. You can see through the magic, the manipulation, the mind control, and you just step in as a clear voice and you try to say to people, you're being mind controlled and here's how they're doing it. It's a very difficult path. I've chosen that path in in some measure. It's the most difficult path because the mind control stuff they're using is so embedded. It's still 90%, 80% of the rhetoric in the alternative community is the Abrahamic narrative. It's all mind control, folks. All mind control. I don't know how many times I have to go over this. There is no other religion in the world that entices people to join it with the guaranteed promise of a good afterlife and with so little esoteric data given to the person. Esoteric data is tools or things to work at to unfold your own consciousness. You're basically just given this blank template, okay? You're a soul, God loves you, blah, blah, blah. Believe this, 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 and as a last-minute effort, you know, if you're Catholic, say you're sorry and you're still going to win. Yeah, that's the consciousness-building template of the Western world, folks, right? That's the religious template, the spiritual template of the Western world. It doesn't work anymore. It's not good enough anymore. And what's more, it's a big part of the problem. And this will be the last thing to go in the alternative community. You can see it's still all sort of laid out, even right here at Rev Radio. Other networks, they don't mix it up the way we do at Rev Radio. They have very strict editorial controls about who's allowed to be on their network. Like RBN Network, it's pretty much all just Christian, right? Some Christian Zionism. True News, I mean, you're not gonna get a little sideshow doing documentary films for them unless you're dyed-in-the-wool Christian. Right? And so figuring out the religious conundrum is one of the biggest problems out there, folks. One of the biggest problems out there. I tried my very best to articulate what was going on in the second book I wrote, Light of Darkness, A Warrior's Tale for Our Time, with Robert Wiegand. It does a very, very good job of explaining, you know, how this is all used against us. Within the Abrahamic tradition, you have socio-political movements. Zionism is a socio-political movement. It's not a religious movement. It's a socio-political movement, right? It's a land dispute, right? If you even entertain it for one second, you're basically saying God's a real estate agent. It's absurd. And yet people buy it. Oh, the Jews belong there. It's their promised land. People buy that. People listening to me right now buy it. People will probably get upset that I'm saying these things. But look, man, at the end of the rebalancing process, if nothing works, if talking to people calmly doesn't work, what do? ECT, man. Electroconvulsive therapy. Shock therapy, man. You're being manipulated. You're being lied to. It's not that there isn't a God, and that it's not that that God isn't love. Like, all the core things are true. It's just the conditions to be in that God's favor have somehow been twisted in the Abrahamic system so that you end up favoring a certain political outcome when there shouldn't be anything political about it at all. Right? This is what's going on in the world now, folks. Yeah. This is what's going on in the world now. So we were talking a little bit about Stanley Kubrick and how much he saw. It blew me away how much. Well, it's not that he saw it. You know, when you get all awestruck about Stanley Kubrick, you're falling under the spell that he unstitched it all and figured it all out. Now, he was an insider. He was shown. He told as much as he could. In many ways, he was part of their disclosure mechanism. Right? This brave new world, this brave new digital world they say we're going into and all of this stuff and the future's inevitable and you can't stop it, I disagree. You can stop it and stop anything you want to stop if you're determined enough, right? Native tribes have taken on Exxon Oil and won. Yeah, look into Ecuador. You can always win if you want. I don't think that world's going to come, folks. I don't think it's going to come. I really don't. I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I just think it's a dream cresting on the horizon. I think there's something in the human event horizon which is going to change everything. It hasn't happened yet. It's beginning to happen. You can see aspects of it. It's going to be the single greatest initiatory experience for the human race, meaning everybody is going to be simultaneously initiated into a higher state of consciousness. It'll be undeniable. It'll be absolutely undeniable. And when that thing in our event horizon happens, all of this 5G and this networked and digital world we're building out, it's not going to make any sense anymore, and we're just going to drop it. Right? So the way to overcome the darkness that has circled us now is to just go to a higher point of light and see down on it and say, yeah, we're not falling for that, and just go on. But yeah, it has to be real. Can't be a belief system. This is another big thing about what I think is changing in the world, is that we're going from belief systems to knowledge. I don't really give a shit what you believe. I believe there's a heaven. I believe Jesus will be there. I don't give a shit what you believe. If you haven't been there, if you haven't projected out of your body, verified the landscape and the circumstances, shut the fuck up. Nobody cares what you believe. Nobody. Right? The age of belief is ending. This is another big thing that's got people rattled. And the people most rattled are the people most tied up in belief systems. The world is collapsing. No. Your fucking world is collapsing. And it's long overdue. See you on the other side.
Engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time! When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the
make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
It's McDonald. This is McDonald in the morning, Wednesday, October 14th, 2020, the year 2020, and we're seeing things pretty clearly, aren't we? 9:34 a.m. my time, 11:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the last quarter of the show. My God, that went by in the blink of an eye. Blink of an eye. I didn't even get to the White Brotherhood. I will. I'm going to do this book, I promise, because it introduces a very important concept into the mix here. In terms of non-physical interaction with human beings, and that is the idea of a human being who attains a certain level of consciousness enfoldment and is able to continue to serve human beings after death, right? And this is the concept of the ascended master. Now, ascended masters or enlightened masters are a part of many traditions. It's not just a New Age thing per se, although it really kind of came out in the New Age. But when you think about it, and you should think about it, if there's no such thing as ascended masters, then there's no Jesus to pray to either. Right? It's either part of the physics, the science of spirituality, that a human being can attain a certain state of consciousness that allows them to continue to work with human beings after they're dead. It's either part of the rule set down here or it isn't. So if you believe in Jesus and you believe he's listening to your prayers and he's in what we'll call the middle kingdom, or, you know, probably in the fourth dimension, you know, which is the closest to the physical world, and is perfectly aware of everything that's going on here and is able to assist and intervene with human beings, then congratulations, my Christian brothers and sisters, you believe in ascended masters. You get how that works? All right. Anybody wants to call in, holler, let me know what's on your mind. Just say hello. Kill some time on a Wednesday morning. Give me a holla. 864-810-1039. Boy, I'll tell you, man, it's like a Russian sauna now, the heat now in the world. You just feel it, you know, just ratcheting up a little bit every day as we get closer and closer to this election. Isn't it all just going to be grand if, you know, Trump gets in and then any kind of counter protest to him getting in just gets stamped out right away in like a month and we get back to business and we build the economy and the trials go forward and we get the illusion of justice, even though it's only 0.02% of all the scumbags involved in what Vinnie Eastwood calls the scumbaggery, right? I'm not even sure we can fully stop their world. I mean, I think the only thing we could do is create a world where they can't exist in it. And that would be one that is more love-centric, and they wouldn't be able to exist. They would be anomalies. But the one thing about the negative, and why the negative always has an advantage, folks, and why I believe that the idea of splitting might be possible, like, you know, when you see... when cells split, man, I can't even believe I forget the original biological name for that. It's not mitosis. Is it mitosis? Did I just pull that out of a hat? Is it mitosis? I don't know. I think I've got a new caller here. Let me see. No, I missed this call somehow. I'll call him back. Yeah, I don't know why the merge gives me a hard time on the phone numbers sometimes. But, yeah, there's just more crazy out there now than you can count, folks. And even in the alternative radio space. And I think the mistake we're all making is absolutism. Trying to come up with the absence of what's going on. You know, how come the LARP people can see the negative agenda so well, but they never talk about the angelic or benign spiritual footprint in the world? They can't see evidence of that. So if they had the consciousness to see the negative, the LARP, they would have the consciousness to see the positive, which would not be good. I've been given this idea of the LARP, the live action role play scenario, which, you know,
how you doing?
It's kind of catchy at first when you first hear it, and then you give it a little bit of thinking and you go, well, I mean, hey man, how are you, 475? I am?
Oh, well.
I don't know why that would be happening. Is that what you called in to tell me? Hey, Bernie, how you doing?
I actually ordered one of your books, so as soon as I get it, I'm going to read it. The first one you did.
Oh, yeah. You'll enjoy that. It's a really good introduction to the whole ET world. Very, very. John Edmonds is the perfect. I wrote that book for people who don't normally read ET books. So it's like it kind of like guides you into the whole world, right? It could take a stranger into that world. As opposed to most of the books in that genre now are written for the diehards, right? It's become like a Dungeons and Dragons culture. But thank you very much, Bernie. Thank you. Where are you calling from, Bernie?
I'm calling outside New Haven, Connecticut.
Wow.
You know, New Haven.
Yeah, I do.
You know, I lived in New Haven for a long time, and I mean, I lived in all the different neighborhoods, you know, in the in sections that no white people would want to live in, right? I mean, just I lived everywhere. My keto teacher was black guy, and Terry Dobson, all those guys. You know, we were all like right in the middle of the ghettos, and we had a great time, you know. And there was never any real conflict, you know. So, you know, people did get together, and it was never a real problem. Everybody did their own thing, and you mind your own business. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
unless you had no, huh?
You know, you made me think about something. One of the things we've done with media in the last 50 years is we've created what I call an observer class. And the observer class are the people sitting in suburbia watching TV about the ghettos and everything and going, oh, my God. Right. I like when you talk about, you know, living in rough interracial communities in New Haven. I've been to New Haven, by the way. It's a shithole. But when you live in communities like that, what the observer doesn't understand, what Peggy Sue living in suburbia, getting it through, you know, Phil Donahue in the 70s or 80s doesn't understand is that when you live there, it's not chaos. It's just a different set of laws. Once you understand them, you're as safe as you are anywhere. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, your psyche kind of adjusts to it. Because
yeah.
I moved out for a short time, and as I moved in, it took like a week and a half for my psyche to readjust. Because people like saw me as an outsider, they could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Just being out of it for, you know, half a year or so, you know. And there was a woman who came into the mall in New Haven, and they have a hotel in there, and she was on the elevator. And two black guys walked into the elevator, and she's from the suburbs. She emptied her pocketbook as soon as they walked in, and they had no intentions of mugging her.
Yeah.
So, no, you know, she's from the outside. This is the way they see it.
I know exactly what you mean. The community I live in now, Bernie, I've had two members of my immediate family die by gunshot in the last year. One was 22 years old. Sorry, 21 when he was murdered. His birthday was this week. He just turned 22. And the other one was his father, who was 55. The father didn't deserve it. He sort of got caught up in what the son was involved in, and the son did deserve it. He had 12 or 14 bodies on him. He wasn't even obeying the laws of his subculture anymore, which was gang-related profiteering, as you might imagine it, in Central America, whatever they do. I'm not going to say it out loud. I've come to the conclusions that I talk too much sometimes. I should shut my mouth. But he deserved it. I can have this discussion with my wife. It was her nephew, my nephew too, by marriage, but... Yeah, I can have. She's not, you know, crying and wailing and going, "Oh, you're a monster! How could you say that he deserved to die?" She just looks at me in the eyes and she thinks for 3 seconds and she nods his head. He said, "Yeah." She says, "Yeah, it was only a matter of time." You know, thank God it's out of the way and my sister can deal with it. She's still young, and she can get on with her life. But he chose that life, man. He chose the fast car. He liked the bitches. He liked partying, man. He liked the fast cars. He liked the bling bling, man. He liked two grand. They got the wear your wealth culture that is a big part of the poor black community in the United States. So you live in the ghetto, but you know you're a drug dealer and you wear your wealth. You'll have, you know, 10, 15 grand of gold on your body at any time, your wrist, your neck, or whatever. That's big down here too. Yeah, it's big down here. It's absolute earth-based people. Like, these are people who their natural template and birth is to be like a farmer or something, and they just get blinded by this materialistic light. They go into a trance and they just go nuts. They go nuts,
yeah,
and then you go deeper and deeper, right?
They're like that too, you know.
The what?
I mean, they're still. I have a friend who drives a hearse, and he still drives young black kids to. to Hartford to the cemetery every day. You know what I mean? There's still a lot of that going on.
Yeah. And what do you think of this LARP thing? Live action role play. What do you think of this LARP narrative that's coming out in the alternative community? That everything is a LARP.
They put acting out. I don't see a lot of value in it.
Yeah.
It's just another thing, you know, another invention that they play out and think it's important where it's really meaningless, you know.
I call it Christian Buddhism. They're basically saying all is Maya, all is illusion.
Yeah, well, we used to say that years ago.
Yeah. You're stepping all over me. I was going to say, welcome to causal consciousness, astral Christians. It actually is a LARP, but actually the idea of a LARP was created several thousand years ago by Buddha.
I had some medical issues, right? And I'm old, so. And I'm all these people in this facility at Yale for treatment, right? And I walk by this guy, and he's an Indian guy. And he's in the waiting room. And I said to him, I said, "You're from Punja, aren't you?" He says, "Yes, I am from Punja." Right? Then on the second trip through, I says, "You're a Sikh." He says, "Yes, I'm a Sikh," like this. And he reaches into underneath his shirt. And he's got a little Sikh dagger on a chain and pulls it out.
Yeah.
And then I said to him, "Well, I studied with Yogi Bhajan years ago, but he kind of forgot who he was, right?" But what I'm saying is I just looked at him and I got that information out of him.
Yeah,
and this is,
sure.
This is New Haven, right? And this is recently. So, I mean, all the information is there. You just can't, you got to be still and it'll come to you. It just all the information in people's minds and hearts and everything just will pop out. But you can't dominate. You got to just relax, and it all comes to you, and it tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
But that takes a long time, and you got to have you got to train yourself. You can't just think you're going to sit and watch TV, and it's all going to happen because you watch something on the internet or.
Yeah.
If you don't practice, I did a lot of theater, and I used to say to people, they say, "Well, how do you get good at things?" I said, "You practice. Practice, practice, practice your lines." I had to do, when I was back in high school, I had to do an anti-war thing by Marion Moore in Distress of the Merits for an entire student body on a couple of assemblies. And they said, "Well, where the hell did you learn how to read that?" I said, "I practiced it for 2 or 3 weeks, even though it's just one poem. I didn't even know what the Book of Job was, which is mentioned in the poem." I said, "Unless you practice," I'm out with clients and we're doing a drug industrial videos, and the guy says, "Well, you never say anything." Well, I said, "They're doing the selling, I'm doing the listening." So, I mean, this is, people don't listen anymore.
No.
So, people listen to the radio, it's probably one good thing is they are listening, as opposed to... doing anything else. I had some watching TV because the visual thing kind of takes your body, because your eyes take a lot of energy.
I agree with you completely. Radio is an entirely different medium. And it engages a different part of the human being. It's more of a conversation. They sit back and they listen to you, or they're driving, they're talking, they're listening to you, or they're cooking in the kitchen and they're listening to you. And it's an entirely different thing, right? It's much more participatory than television. Television is just like, boom, you're into those beta waves in the brain, and you just start drooling, and you're zombified for 2 hours.
Have you ever heard of Radio Orbit? Mike Kagan, he's in South Carolina somewhere.
No.
He's still on the air. But there's a guy who worked with him who people would call in, and this is like 10 years ago, and he says, well, there's caves in southern Indiana, and they're driving food in like all day and all night, MRIs, you know, and he just watched the trucks go in and out of this this cavern. And so, and then he said, then somebody else would call and say, well, they're going to spray some stuff in the northeast. Right. So this is like almost 10 years ago. So, I mean, this is not something that is recent, you know what I'm saying? They've been storing food for a long time. So obviously something they've been planning for a very long time. And this is just part of the same thing. And I'm sure his stuff is still in archives on Radio Orbit. Okay. Mike Hagan.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, I mean, but what I'm saying is, you know, like you talk about the economy. Well, the economy's been slipping since the 70s, you know, when the gas crisis, then the collapse, and then the dot-com and the 2007 collapse of GM and everything. I mean, they've just been one thing after another, like every 10 years. Reagan screwed the economy up.
Bernie, can I stop you there?
Sure.
Okay, 802, welcome to the call. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you, Bruce. This is Chris from Northern Vermont, Greenheart One in the chat. I called in because I wanted to tell Bernie I emailed the folks over at the dojo and tried to get the number, my contact, in case you came up to Vermont so we could maybe meet up.
You know, I was in Vermont, but I didn't. I was looking for some real estate up there, but I didn't get to the dojo. But I was talking to some guys that, because the woman I was with, she was like vice president of a corporation, and she was, I know her whole family, and she was doing Aikido with me back then, and she has a place in Stowe. So, you know, I was up there, but I never got to the dojo, and I wanted to go.
Well, I left word with Aaron Sensei and Joe, so I don't know if you know those guys from Vermont Aikido.
Which dojo is it?
The one on the north end of town that Terry Dotson founded.
Oh, north end, okay.
Vermont Aikido.
Yeah, I go up there all the time, so I will make a point.
Okay, well, they have my contact info, and I'd really love to meet up with you sometime. If you ever up here again. My name's Christopher, and I go to New Jersey a lot, so maybe I could swing by sometime.
I'm up there all the time, so.
Great.
Hey.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Yeah.
No worries, man. No worries. Thanks for calling in. There you go. You got a buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Sorry.
Buddy there.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, what's happening now, the movie we were working on, which we finished, was kind of a dystopian movie. Everything collapsed. Mm-hmm. We did this back in 2018, and there was no cell phones in it or none of this kind of stuff. We took, like, no television set, you know. We didn't do it purposely because it just didn't work using any of that stuff anymore. And people were just meandering around trying to survive in little factions. And it's probably basically what would happen. No real violence, you know what I'm saying, a little bit here and there. But that's probably what would happen if the whole electronic thing went down. You know, eventually people would have to learn to work together.
But, yeah, it's no big deal, man. I mean, I live in a very low electronic footprint. Yeah. I mean, I'm the only person who has internet. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're low tech. Costa Rica's it's interesting place, but I hear a lot of negative things about it also, you know.
Yeah, like what?
The child trafficking, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's true. Huh?
Yeah, I think it is true in certain regions. Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm pretty sure it exists. In what measure, I don't know, because this is in a highly populated country, right? But
I'm sure it's something like
that going on in certain regions.
Right.
Well, I know that the mayor of Caicos, which is a beach town in Punta Arenas, which is the big Pacific Coast beach province in Costa Rica. It's a coastal province. He was arrested in like 2012 with like a warehouse, not a warehouse, but a storeroom full of DVDs of kiddie porn. And he was going around all the poor people in his canton and saying he was taking the children for some government project or something and selling kiddie porn. And he was out a day later. They gave him bail and he was out right away. But they don't like that over here. They kill pedos in Central America. It's a naturally functioning society. They kill pedos.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of trafficking going around everywhere, especially in some of the cartels and all that kind of stuff. You know.
Yeah, they might be. If there's enough money in it, they would be into it. Now listen, I got to quickly plug the station here because we got about 30 seconds. Folks, I'm Bruce McDonald. This is McDonald in the Morning, Wednesday, October 14th. It's 9:56 a.m. my time, almost noon your time. This is Revolution Radio Studio A. We're entirely listener-supported. For us to keep doing what we do, we need you to do what you do, and that is support us by donating when you can or monthly if you're capable of doing that. So go to revolution.radio and hit the Patreon button and do for us what you can do for us. And I want to thank you very much, those of you who do donate. I think we might be right out of time there.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next time. Yeah, be well. G'day, folks. We'll see you on the rebound.
Revolution.